This is Protect What Matters with Barry Fisher and Susan Blaze, giving you the advice and information on protecting what matters the most in today's world. Phone lines open, 238-5775, 238-KPRL.
Good afternoon, I'm Barry Fisher.
And I'm Susan Blaze.
And welcome to Protecting What Matters, the broadcast that helps you become better shoppers and buyers of services and products to protect various aspects of your life and property. Today's show features Ashley Wilkins, CFP, Senior Wealth and Portfolio Manager of the Rice Partnership, a wealth advisory group with offices in Paso, San Luis Obispo, and Hawaii. We'll be introducing her in a minute or two, but we do plan to have a wide-ranging discussion about investing money in these very uncertain times. Other show topics today will include Susan talking about the emotional side of money. And if we have some time, I want to do a follow-up on inflation and also the adjustment to Social Security benefits that are coming up in 2023. Well, you know, Susan, believe it or not, we now have a fanboy. His name is Fanboy Ken, and he emailed me once or twice already, and he told me that our show is a cross between rich man, poor man, Robert Kiyosaki, and Dr. Laura. I'm just curious to know which one of us he thought was which.
Yeah, I'm not sure, but to think about being Dr. Laura is a true aspiration, but I'm a long way from Dr. Laura at this point.
Well, there you go. So, I don't know, what have we learned in the last three or four weeks of shows and show preparation? What jumps out at you most?
I'd say the biggest part is the time and preparation. It's important that we have plenty of content, especially if we start getting nervous and talking faster than we should. We need to have lots of content to fill in the time. And it's really fun, and I think it'll get more fun as we become familiar with all these panels and buttons and phone lines and so on. So it's still a bit nerve-wracking, but it's really great to be here.
Well, great. All right. Well, listen, y'all know that the KPRL call-in number is 805-238-5775. That's 238-KPRL. And you can also email us at info@blazeandbear.com, BLAZENBEAR.com. So now I'd like to introduce Ashley. Ashley, are you on the line?
I'm here.
Hey, we got the technology to work. That's amazing. Okay. So listen, Ashley Wilkin heads up the Rice Partnership's offices in San Luis Obispo and Paso Robles. She's a Cal Poly graduate with a bachelor's degree in agribusiness and an MBA with a concentration in agribusiness. Previous to the Rice Partnership, she worked as a commercial and agricultural lender in San Luis Obispo County. Ashley is a certified financial planner, and this is very cool, an NFL Players Association registered player financial advisor. I'll bet you got some stories about that, don't you, Ashley? Ashley, thank you so much for joining us. Please give us a brief rundown on the Rice Partnership. I think one of the most important things is you're a family-run business, and tell us a little bit about yourself and the rest of the organization.
I will. First, thank you so much for having me. I'm so excited to be one of your first guests. So the Rice Partnership, we're an independent wealth management firm. We cater to multi-generational families, business owners, independent women, and nonprofits. And then also we have our NFL players and retirees as well that you mentioned. The firm was started in 2005 by my mother, Bonnie Rice. And we now have four offices, as you mentioned, Maui, Oahu, San Luis Obispo, and Paso Robles. We manage about $500 million for about 330 families. So, you know, we love all our clients. We get to work with great people every day. So, I love this gig. But my background, how I got to work for my mom is not my intention at all. but I grew up in Hawaii. I grew up on a cattle ranch, on the Big Island. So I had an ag background and I wanted to be in agriculture. But I wanted to be on the business side. So I went to Cal Poly. I moved to San Luis Obispo when I was 18 and went to Cal Poly, studied ag business, and was on the rodeo team there. And then in 2010, when I graduated with my undergrad, was not the best time to get a job in the finance industry coming off of the 2008 crisis. So I decided to go back to Cal Poly and get my MBA. And the silver lining of that was I was also got an extra year of eligibility on the rodeo team. So got my MBA and then started working in the banking industry for Farm Credit West, and then after that for Umpqua Bank. And then in 2018, you know, just kind of looking at what my career was going to be for the rest of my life, my mom was also hiring a CFP at that point, and, you know, I decided that maybe commercial banking wasn't going to be where I wanted to be for the rest of my life. So she wanted to hire me, but I didn't want to move back to Hawaii. So we opened an office in San Luis Obispo in 2018. And then that one, it's been great. It's been successful. So we were able to open another office in Paso Robles just last year.
Well, what a great story. So Susan's got the first question for you.
Yeah. I know when you're dealing with your clients, one of the big issues is asset allocation. How do you come up with the appropriate asset allocation for different clients?
Yeah, so there's three kind of main things that we look at. Number one is their risk tolerance. Number two is their objective for the account. Is this a retirement account or is this a emergency fund or, you know, whatever the objective is. And then number three is what's the cash flow need. You know, do they need cash out of this account, you know, monthly, annually, what's the timeline there? So those are kind of the main three things we look at. And I noticed I didn't say anything about age.
Right. Yeah. I guess it all depends on where people are at various phases of their life. As you mentioned already, this is kind of a crazy time. And we just saw an article that said the stock market in 2022 is on track to be the worst, so far anyway, since 2008. Has your asset allocation recommendations changed this year because of all this volatility?
Yeah, so that's a great question. That definitely, depending on the client and the account type, the asset allocation has changed. You know, we're considered active managers for most of our portfolios we manage. So we're actively making changes in the portfolios on, you know, where we see the economy. This year, we've definitely been more defensive. You know, at the end of last year, interest rates were low and inflation was high. So we knew that it was a high possibility that interest rates were going to go up at a very fast pace. And then that could cause stocks and bonds to go down at the same time, which is what has happened. So we've had a big allocation to money market for the past couple years, just with knowing that that was a possibility. Now as bonds, you know, now the interest rates have gone back up and bonds are looking more attractive, now we're going, you know, back into more individual bonds now that those look attractive. And then as far as stocks, you know, we are looking at sectors of the economy and figuring out what sectors we want to be overweight and what sectors we want to be underweight. So when we're looking at, you know, what's going on in the market right now and a potential pending recession, we want to be in sectors that are more recession-proof. So those are consumer staples, healthcare, utilities, you know, energy. Those are kind of the sectors that we see being, you know, better in this type of cycle. And then underweighting, you know, other sectors like consumer discretion and things that are going to be hit maybe a little bit harder in a recession.
Great. That's great information. You know, we got about a minute and a half before the break, so maybe you could take that time to talk about the different asset classes you're investing in for clients.
Yeah. So typically, you know, in a balanced portfolio, we're going to have a portion dedicated to U.S. equities. We are kind of a U.S. equity-centric manager. We also, you know, invest in international, so emerging international and developed international. Fixed income, which I kind of mentioned, which we also include money market in our fixed income allocation. And then the final category, satellite strategies. Which we can talk, you know, more about that, what that means.
Yeah, I was curious later about that one. You got about another minute, so go ahead. Maybe you can hit on that one.
Yeah, so satellite strategies are also referred to as alternative investments. So this is, you know, your hedge against the stock market. It adds diversification. So it's not really meant to grow the portfolio, but it is meant to reduce the volatility in the portfolio. So, you know,
we'll come right back, Ashley. And remember, the call-in number is 805-238-5775.
Ace Auto Care in Atascadero, the best price and service on brakes, tires, smog checks, oil changes, and more. Ace Auto Care. All your vehicle needs, everything you want.
Fox News, I'm Rich Dennison. President Biden says if Democrats can hold enough seats after the November midterm elections, he'll ask lawmakers to enact federal protections for abortions.
The first bill that I will send to the Congress will be to codify Roe v. Wade.
Several Republican senators have indicated they would support a federal ban on abortion. South Korea says North Korea has fired about 250 artillery shells near the rival's sea border in its latest weapons test. Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky says Russian missile and drone attacks have caused more deaths and injuries in Ukraine today and also have damaged Kyiv's power and water supply.
Zelensky says the Russian attacks have destroyed nearly one-third of Ukraine's power stations. This comes as temperatures continue to fall ahead of what could be a brutal winter.
Fox's Ryan Schmelz in Washington. America's listening to Fox News.
The Central Coast Veterans Memorial Museum honors our local veterans, offering self-guided or detailed tours designed for all ages. The museum is open Wednesday through Saturday from 10 to 3, with free admission and parking. If you know a veteran who'd like to share their experience, the museum is a dedicated partner of the Library of Congress and can preserve these once-in-a-lifetime stories forever. If you'd like to volunteer at the Veterans Museum, stop by at 801 Grand Avenue in San Luis Obispo or visit vetmuseum.org.
Welcome back to Protecting What Matters. Blazin Bear here with Ashley Wilkin of the Rice Partnership. And we're just going to keep on keeping on. Blaze, take the next question.
Okay. Ashley, how do you go about picking specific investments or companies to invest in, considering all the inflation and the potential pending recession?
Yeah, that's a great question. So, you know, as I mentioned, we're U.S.-centric. So in the U.S., we like to pick individual stocks is our preference. And we look at the company's cash flow, you know, their balance sheet to make sure they have, you know, lots of cash, because when interest rates are high like they are now, companies that don't have a lot of cash that have to borrow most of their money, you know, they're going to be more impacted than companies that can finance themselves, essentially. So we look at the balance sheet, we look at the income statement, make sure that, you know, where their income's coming from, that their income's diversified, and then also their management. You know, is there a good management? And then, you know, is there a risk there if something happens to the CEO? You know, is that company, you know, what's the next leadership and what's the succession? So those are some of the things we look at when we're evaluating companies to invest in.
It's really amazing how much research you must have to do constantly. Constant learning, right?
Yep. We have an investment team in-house that has lots of experience. They've been through lots of recessions and economic cycles. So they do a great job of researching all the companies.
They make you look good, huh?
Yes, exactly.
All right. So listen, if we know a recession is looming, I mean, I personally believe we're at the beginning of one. Why wouldn't a person just sell their stocks now and buy them back when the economy is back on the upswing?
Yeah, I get that question a lot from clients. You know, the stock market is a leading indicator, meaning it's looking forward you know, 12, 18 months and trying to predict what's going to happen down the road. So, you know, some of that stuff is already priced in the market. And it's likely that, you know, when the actual statistics come out and say, you know, that we are in a recession or we had a recession, the stock market's going to be already, you know, past that, likely. It's going to be already looking forward, you know, out of the recession. And a good example of this is during COVID. You know, when COVID hit initially, the stock market went down because it wasn't sure, you know, what was going to happen. But as soon as, you know, vaccine talk and everything, and we kind of got our arms around what COVID was, the stock market rebounded much faster than, you know, the economy were still shut down. So, you know, when you're in a bear market, there's a lot of up days that happen, you know, when you're coming out of a bear market. So if you get out and you miss some of those up days, that could severely impact your overall return. And you might, you know, you might never recover from missing out on some of those up days. And we don't know, you know, when those are going to happen. And a good, you know, kind of statistic that I talk about with clients a lot is, you know, timing the market is two decisions, right? You have to make the decision to get out of the market, and then you also have to make the decision to go back into the market. And let's say you're a really good money manager, and, you know, really good money managers are right about 70% of the time. So let's say, you know, you have 70% chance, if you're the best, one of the best money managers, you have a 70% chance of getting it right on that, getting out, 70% chance of getting it right coming back in. That 70 times 70 is 0.49. You have a less than 50% chance of getting it right on the out and the in if you're, you know, one of the best out there. So we like to say time in the market is more important than timing of the market, and, you know, to just stay invested. And within that, you know, we are making changes, but overall, you know, advising clients to stay in the market and hold on.
I think that's a really sound strategy, really. You know, it's not a loss until you sell something, right? As long as you have what your investments that you're comfortable in, you know, they're good companies and you have confidence in them. You know, the history shows that the markets do come back. So
exactly,
yeah, that's so interesting. I bet you do a lot of handholding on days when it goes down pretty bad, though.
Depends. You know, I do a lot of financial planning, and in the financial planning process, we talk about, you know, the down cycles, and we, you know, tell the clients your portfolio, you know, might go down 30%, and how would that make you feel? And so that kind of, I like to set the expectation when we start a relationship with a client, so I don't get as many calls.
Right.
And, you know, it's for the people that haven't been through as many cycles, you know, maybe they inherited a portfolio, or maybe, you know, someone else was managing it and now they're managing it for whatever reason, you know, if they're new to investing, and they haven't seen the cycles, then yes, it can be definitely scary. And for, you know, those clients, we are, you know, just, you know, kind of talking about the same things I'm talking with you today.
Right.
On the importance of keeping a long-term view.
Yeah, that makes so much sense. I recently heard about something called I-bonds, which I guess are inflation-protected treasury bonds. Could you talk to our listeners about what those are about?
Yeah, I definitely can. They're something that you can get directly from the U.S. Treasury, and it's what you said. It's an inflation-protected bond, so the interest rate is set every 6 months based on where inflation is. So right now, the interest on those is 9.62% from if you buy it from now until October 28th, and then it's going to get reset on November 1st. And that's, you know, backed by the U.S. Treasury. So, you know, one of the safest probably investments you can make if, you know, the full faith and full faith of the U.S. government behind it. The investments limited to $10,000 per Social Security number or tax ID number. So you're limited on how much you can buy, and you have to buy that directly with the U.S. government. You know, I can't buy that for clients. They have to do that directly. So it is, you know, a great thing to invest in if you have $10,000 and you, you know, can leave it there for 12 months and let it earn that interest.
It's great.
So I'm going to skip up a couple of questions, Ashley, because I want to get a couple of these later questions in, and if we can come back to the other ones, we will. So how does life insurance, disability and long-term care insurance planning, fit into your financial planning recommendations?
Yeah, you know, it's not a one-size-fits-all situation. Every client has different needs. I would say life insurance, my life insurance recommendations tend to fit into two categories. One is the, you know, term life insurance, which tends to be for clients that are, you know, younger, just starting out saving, they're, you know, still working. So if something happens to them, you know, there is a risk that, you know, their family would need some protection. Usually by the time they retire, they have enough saved up, you know, if they're following the financial plan, that they don't need it. So, you know, that's a term is a great product there. Whole life, I tend to recommend whole life more for clients that have taxable estates where, you know, they have estate tax liability potentially. And that's where, you know, we tend to see more whole life policies because, you know, the purpose of that policy is that when they die, they get the cash infusion to pay the estate taxes. You know, overall with insurance, I always, you know, ask the client, you know, and when we're doing the planning, what's the purpose of this policy and what's the risk? I don't think insurance should be an investment, you know, by itself. I think it's there to cover a risk. So, you know, disability insurance is great for, you know, people that have high paying jobs. And if they become disabled, that, you know, there's a risk that their family would be, you know, negatively affected. Same thing with long-term care. We do financial, different financial analysis with clients and what if scenarios on long-term care. And if they had to pay for that out of pocket, would that negatively affect their financial plan? If the answer is yes, then, you know, let's look at some long-term care insurance.
So insurance is really a hedge against the uncertainty of not completing the plan, basically.
Yeah, it's a hedge against the risk, you know, the what if, you know, premature death, premature disability, you know, going into a long-term care facility, how long and what the cost is, you know, those are all unknowns, you know, and if the risk is going to negatively affect the plan, then, you know, that's what insurance is there for.
Great.
Makes sense. Ashley, would you talk about some of the potential black swan events and how they may impact the markets? We hear a lot about those these days.
Yeah. Well, and, you know, the black swan events, we don't really know what the next one's going to be, right? That's what makes them black swan events. I mean, you have, you know, just looking back the last couple of years, you have the pandemic, you have the war in Ukraine, you have all these things that, you know, where we didn't predict. So what we like to do in general is, you know, we preach diversity. Even with companies that we love, you know, we really only have, you know, 2-4% of the client's portfolio in most cases in one individual stock. So, you know, if something happens to one stock, it's not going to tank your whole portfolio. You know, I get worried when, you know, I see portfolios where clients and or, you know, prospects are invested, you know, 10, 20, 30% in one company, that scares me because then, you know, something could happen to that one company and that would be detrimental to the portfolio. So I think overall diversity is your best hedge against black swan events, not having too much invested in any one company, in any one country, in any one asset class. You know, for example, bonds, you know, if historically, if when clients said they want to be conservative, that meant investing in bonds. But as we saw this year, you know, bonds have had a horrible year. And, you know, in some cases, you'd be better off being diversified with stocks and bonds. So you could, you know, recover, you know, with the stocks to balance out the bonds. So, you know, overall diversity is, you know, all day what I try to get across to clients.
So, Ashley, we've got about a minute and a half left to the segment and our time together. So the two things I'd like you to touch on is, number one, how can people get in touch with you, okay, and talk to you about your services? And then secondly, is there anything else that you didn't touch on that you wanted to make a point about?
Yeah, so to get in touch with me, just go to our website, thericepartnership.com, and you can click on Contact Us, and it has an appointment link and my email and direct phone number. As far as, you know, one kind of takeaway I would say is, you know, if people are working with an advisor, you know, get to know that advisor well. You know, are they a fiduciary? How do they get paid? Do they get paid on commissions? Do they get paid on a fee? You know, a lot of people, they're, you know, financial advisor can mean a lot of things. So just getting to know, you know, if they're a fiduciary, how they get paid, those kind of things, you know, when you're trusting someone with your money is important.
Susan, you have anything else?
I would say, too, Ashley, another thing is the depth of their experience, right?
Yep.
If someone has just started in this job and they don't have the kind of depth and the resources you have for research and all that, that would be another key indicator to me to make sure that you're
definitely
with someone who's got experience.
Ashley, thank you so much for being with us today. We're going to have you back for a deeper dive. But thank you so much.
Thanks,
Ashley.
Have
a great day.
This Fox Business News update on KPRL is brought to you by Stifel, your full-service wealth management firm since 1890. Stifel, located at 1337 Vine Street in Paso Robles. Call 805-238-3080. Stifel, 238-3080.
I'm Charles Payne, and this is the Fox Business Report.
Stocks edging higher for a second day as investors reviewed a new crop of earnings results. Industrials and financials were among the gainers while healthcare companies lagged. Shares of Johnson & Johnson fell slightly despite posting higher sales and earnings for its recently ended quarter. However, the healthcare products company did lower its full-year sales guidance. And Goldman Sachs rounding out results from the biggest U.S. banks today and delivering earnings that beat estimates, which helped lift shares in other lenders. And Colgate-Palmolive stock spiked 1% after activist investor Third Point said it acquired a significant position in the consumer products maker. The Dow winners, Goldman Sachs, Salesforce, and JP Morgan Chase. The Dow decliners, United Health Group, Amgen, and Johnson & Johnson. The Dow rising 338 points, the NASDAQ up 97, S&P 500 up 42. That's your Fox Business Report. I'm Hillary Barsky, invested in you.
Is your small business ready for holiday mailing and shipping? Get ahead of the chaos with Stamps.com, the 24/7 post office you can access anywhere. You'll get major discounts on USPS and UPS rates, and it's easy to compare carriers and rates for the best deals. Sign up at Stamps.com with promo code BUSINESS for a 4-week trial, plus free postage and a digital scale. That's Stamps.com, promo code BUSINESS.
This Fox Business News update on KPRL brought to you by Stifel, your full-service wealth management firm since 1890. Stifel, located at 1337 Vine Street in Paso Robles. Call 805-238-3080. Stifel, 238-3080.
This is Evan Luckadoo, the director of golf at Chalk Mountain Golf Course. How would you like 3 free rounds of golf? One at Morro Bay, one at Dairy Creek, and one at Chalk Mountain Golf Course. Simply buy the 2023 Slow County Golf Cart on sale now for just $125. And as a bonus, you get a free round on your birthday. And all year, you save up to 40% every time you play. Then, there's the $12 rates at 12 p.m. through March of next year. For your 2023 Slow County Golf Cart, visit the pro shops at Morro Bay Golf Course, Dairy Creek in San Luis Obispo, or Chalk Mountain in Atascadero, or you can go online to slocountygolf.com.
Welcome back to Protecting What Matters with Blaze and Bear. And again, the call-in number is 805-238-5775, KPRL. So, you know, Susan, that was a great interview, wasn't it?
Yes, Ashley was just fantastic. I hope our listeners really enjoyed that as much as I did. And learned a lot.
And if you do have any questions for Ashley that I can get over to her, you can send them to info@blazeandbear.com. We were just advised we may have missed a call-in. With all the excitement of the interview, so there's just a lot of flashing lights around here to keep track of. So, we aspire to be broadcast professionals. So we're going to keep moving on. We want to talk this next segment about the emotional side of money, and this is an area that Susan is expert at. Susan, what do you mean by the emotional side of money?
Well, as I mentioned in the past, I have a master's in marriage and family therapy. And in that school, one of the things we talked about quite a bit is how money is congealed emotion. Well, what does that mean? It's that basically it means that we tend to handle our money very much like we handle other important things in our lives. And Joseph Campbell, who's one of my heroes and who wrote The Power of Myth, he said that money is congealed energy. And releasing it releases life possibilities. Letting it flow instead of hoarding it is a mode of participation in the life of others. And so I found it really interesting when Ashley was just talking that she said one of the first things she discusses with a new client is what is their risk tolerance. And really, when you think about that, that is a pretty clear indicator of the emotional side of money, because some people are more comfortable with a higher degree of risk. They're willing to put more money at risk for the potential of greater gain, and others are not. They're more concerned with keeping what they have and making sure that it's secure. And so when we talk about the emotional issues around money, if we think about it, money is actually a form of power, because none of us can really live without it. It's what enables us to gain security, meet our basic needs for food, clothing, and shelter, and among the other many other needs we have. And money is something we actually have a relationship with, whether we think about it consciously or not. And so if we step back a bit and look at how we relate to money, it can give us insights into whether we're happy with that relationship or not. Because just like human relationships, there's a whole spectrum of happy relationships and very unhappy relationships.
So how can we have a relationship with an inanimate object? I know they're trying to build robots now, you know, for certain things that we won't go into on this segment. But how can you have a relationship with an inanimate object?
Well, this comes from a guy, right? Let's think about for a minute how men have relationships, especially with their cars or their trucks. Oh, my goodness, right? Like, we all have relationships.
Yeah, so what about it?
We all have relationships with many inanimate objects. It's like, don't mess with my jewelry. I won't mess with your truck. So when it comes to this relationship with money, just as with our children, some people are much more protective of their children. We have the extremes of what's called the helicopter parents, parents who watch every single thing their children do. They bring them to every appointment themselves and so on, versus other parents who may let their kids run what some might call a little wild, because they want them to have the ability to make their own choices and deal with the consequences. And so it's exactly the same with money. We all can probably think of someone right off the bat. We have people in our own family, our own circle of friends that we might say about them, well, money flows through their hands like water. Right? That some people just spend it faster than they get it.
We've known some of those.
I had one in my own family. And we can also, at the other end, think of people that hold on to their money. They squeeze every penny till it screams, right? That's like an expression we use, which shows that we really do have relationships with money. And then we probably have some in the middle. When we're in the realm of long-term care planning, we often talk about these people who we actually call them planners. Some people have a very balanced relationship with money. They meet their expenses, they put some in savings, and then they can have fun with the rest. You know, so there's a whole spectrum of how this relationship with money can work. Even the language we use, right? We call some people tight. We say they're tightwads. You know, they hate to part with money. And I have to tell a story about that. There was one person that I knew that used to live near us, and he was part of a homeowners association. And one day we had the homeowners meeting at our house. It was pouring rain. It was a gully washer. And this guy was walking to our house, which was probably a couple of miles walk because he didn't want to spend the gas to come to our house. That's an extreme, I would say, on the tightwad side. And then we have people who are the spendthrifts or squanderers, the people that there's books written about people who win the lottery and within 2 years they're dead broke again because they have like an allergy to money. They can't keep it. They have to get rid of it as fast as they can.
Okay, so most of us have probably experienced some problems in our human relationships due to money. What are some of the ways to prevent or correct those problems?
Back in family therapy school, one of the things we learned, which I'm sure everybody's heard, is like the four biggest problems in relationships are sex, money, kids, and in-laws. Money tends to be one of the top. One of the best ways is to have open and honest discussions about money before committing to an important relationship. I heard Susie Orman one time saying, before you get serious in dating, find out the person's FICO score. And you know, there's something to that. Because if you get involved in life, in a marriage or a partnership, or in a business partnership, if there's a very extreme difference in the way people handle money, if one's a big saver and doesn't want to spend anything, and the other's a big spender, you can see right away there's going to be a lot of disagreements and conflict. Studies show repeatedly that couples and business partners that discuss money frequently and openly have much better relationships in general because they're going to have more trust and respect. I know in my first marriage, true confessions, there was a lot of secrets around money. It was never really spoken about. And that could create some real problems because then people get suspicious about what the heck's going on here. So it's a really interesting thing.
Yeah, I think your point about the business relationships are very important. I mean, we continue to have a business partner in Texas, and he's a great guy. He was married to a woman for a number of years who was basically his bookkeeper. And she, you know, and I could tell she was handling the books for our business. And I could tell something was wrong, but I couldn't bring myself to uncovering it. And then one day, she passed away unexpectedly. She had a pulmonary embolism while driving down the freeway and died instantaneously. Well, then we discovered that, you know, she had been basically taking money, not taking money from the business, but in essence she was. She was putting everything on credit cards. She was, you know, doing the thing where she's paying one credit card off with another. And it was a real problem. It took us over a year to kind of sort through all those nightmares and pull the company back out of a tailspin, which ended up working out for us. But it was a lost year.
It was a mess. That was just a gigantic, just emotional roller coaster for so many people. Yeah, it was amazing. So probably just about anybody that's hearing us has had issues with people in their families or their businesses about money. I'm just going to tell a story about my parents. I feel like I was pretty lucky in that my parents seemed to have a pretty healthy relationship about money. And I was one of the lucky kids. They bought me a horse when I was 14. But then they told me that I needed to pay for his care. And way back then in the dark ages, it cost about $7 a week to take care of a horse. It probably costs $7 a day now. But so I got a job at a dog kennel and rode my horse to work on the weekends. I made 14 bucks a week and put $7 in the envelope to take care of the horse. Yep. So it was really a good foundation that has served me pretty well.
You used to care for slobbery dogs, too. What were those ones?
Oh, the St. Bernards. I worked in a St. Bernard kennel. My mother made me change my clothes in the barn before I came in because if anyone's had St. Bernards, they throw their head and throw huge globs of spittle at you. So I would come home covered with it. Thank you for bringing that up. And
so where do we get our beliefs about money?
We are so strongly programmed as children by our parents, whether it's verbal messages or nonverbal messages. Some families, talking about money is such a strong taboo that it's never really talked about. But children are very smart, and they see the way their parents deal with things. For example, if they're in the store and they say to their parent, I want this. Well, how does your parent generally speak about it? Are they lavish with letting you have it, or do they say, we can't afford it? You pick up those messages for sure.
Absolutely. All right, folks, we'll be back for our last segment. We're going to wrap up relationship with money and talk about what's coming up next week. Stand by.
Do you use propane for your home or business? Family-owned and operated, Delta Liquid Energy has provided local area residents with dependable and courteous propane sales and service since 1936. Each year, the pre-buy program allows Delta Liquid Energy customers the ability to pre-purchase their expected winter requirements at traditionally discounted pricing. Call Delta Liquid Energy, 805-239-0616, or go to DeltaLiquidEnergy.com.
I don't know what to do.
About what?
My wife wants to remodel the kitchen, but we don't have that kind of money.
Want to see what we did? Take a peek at this.
Wow, that looks great. Who did your remodel?
It's not a remodel. I had Espeak Painting paint our cabinets. Now they're like new, and they're my wife's favorite color.
Espeak Painting, huh?
Yeah, they're local, right here in Atascadero. They're easy to deal with, from the estimate all the way to the final brush stroke. And getting a quote was easy. I did it online. It's way cheaper than a remodel.
Then I better take a peek at this Espeak Painting.
Well, you know what they say, happy wife? Happy life.
You got that right.
Take a peek at Espeak Painting and get a beautiful new look for your cabinets without an expensive remodel. Espeak specializes in cabinet painting as well as residential exteriors, interiors, and HOAs. Take a peek at Espeak Painting. Book a quote appointment quickly and easily 24/7 at espeakpainting.com. That's S-P-E-E-K-Painting.com.
Have you found Amy and Jamie's place yet? You need to. It's on Los Tablas Road in Templeton, just past the hospital, with tons of great parking behind the building. Amy and Jamie are friendly and unique, just like the food they make, with love and fresh ingredients. Their staff is amazing and the price is affordable. Breakfast and lunch on the regular menu or creative daily specials. Eat in or to go. Amy and Jamie's place in Templeton at the corner of Los Tablas and Posada.
We're back. Blazing Bear, protecting what matters. The call-in number for KPRL is 805-238-5775. So as a wrap-up, Susan, what are some of the basic ways to improve our relationship with money?
Some really basic ways are, these come not from me, I would not consider myself a financial expert, but from Susie Orman and others. And actually, I'm going to refer you to a great article called What Did Your Parents Really Teach You About Money, from what I was saying before. But if your relationship with money is problematic, especially whether you never seem to have enough or you just feel real disorganized, a lot of times as people get older, they think, oh my gosh, I should have done a better job of planning for retirement.
We got a call, Susan.
Okay.
Hi there. We got a call.
Hi. How you doing?
Good. How about yourself?
Oh, not too bad. I had a question. I've been curious about long-term care insurance. I think my wife is getting to the point where it'd be a little expensive for her because she'll be 65 next month, but I'm 61. And my only problem, you know, is the cost. It seems like, you know, I'm insurance rich, but money poor. I mean, it seems like, you know, I've got three car insurances and two earthquake policies and, you know, the homeowner's policy and umbrella policy. And, I mean, it seems like every day I'm getting something from the, you know, some insurance bill is due. And I was, you know, wondering, like, you know, the most I think I would really want to spend would be you know, not more than $350 a month. And I was wondering, you know, what possibly, what kind of long-term care insurance to maybe help supplement the cost of long-term care if you needed it. I'd have to pay some from myself.
Right.
But then some from, you know, get some help. And then the other question, I'd heard Fidelity was advertising a hybrid insurance, which it's long-term care insurance, but if you never use it when you pass away, there's a life portion of it that gets paid out. So just real quick, wanted to get your get a little info on that.
Yes. A lot of it, your ages are not too bad. You know, really, like the best time to plan for long-term care is in your late 50s, early 60s. And a lot of it will depend on your health. So we'd need to have a discussion with you, which we're not going to have on the phone, obviously, but to delve into your health status a bit. But, you know, any long-term care insurance you have is going to be better than none at all. Because if the cost, let's say it was $6,000 a month right now, and if even if your policy only covered $3,000, would $3,000 a month help you? You know, so we would look at your overall financial situation and find something that fits. And as you mentioned, the hybrid policy, there are many, many options of life insurance that includes a long-term care component, which basically allows you to use the life insurance benefits while you're alive if you need long-term care. And so if you don't use them all, or you don't use them at all, then your beneficiary will get whatever's left in that life insurance policy.
Well, and in the hybrid combo market, too, there's annuity options as well. So you can potentially reposition money you've got in an underperforming savings plan, put it into an annuity that also doubles or triples your money for long-term care if you need it. But let me just back up for a second. This is a great call, actually. Thanks for calling in. The point here is that I know there's a cost to the insurance. We get it, but what's the cost if you don't have it? And you know, if you've been listening to our show, I mean, Susan and I just got through with her mother and my mother-in-law, Susan's mother, in a memory care unit for 6.5 years, and that was about $500,000. That thankfully we had long-term care insurance on her. And it would have made a whole difference.
I just want to be able to enjoy, you know, I mean, I want to be able to enjoy retirement. I mean, you can sit home your whole life and feel safe.
Right.
Right.
But you don't get to do anything. You know, I don't know. It's just, it's a tough, so I'm thinking probably something in the middle. Yeah. I think I remember you said something like your mother paid in like $69,000 over 11 years. And then I think you did mention, you know, she got $500,000.
That's right.
In benefit. Wow.
So what's your first name?
I'm sorry.
What's your first name?
Greg.
Hi, Greg. Thank you so much for calling. Why don't you give our office a call?
Give us a call.
And we'll talk about it. And we can figure out what
real quick,
we can help you. Yeah.
Yeah, I will. And real quick, I wanted to just mention on the I-bonds, one-way strategy is a husband and wife can each buy $10,000, and then they can each gift each other $10,000. So you could do a total of $20,000 a year each. So I would buy $10,000 for her. She can buy $10,000 for me. I can buy $10,000 for myself, and she can buy $10,000 for herself. So it's another little strategy on those. But the bad part about those, you know, bonds, if you need the money, and you have to hold it in there at least a year.
Correct.
Yeah.
That the money's stuck in there for at least a year. So it, you know, it just depends on your situation. But that's a strategy that I read about online.
Yep. Greg, thanks for the great call. Okay. We're going to have to wrap up here pretty quick. So,
all right,
but we'll look forward to talking to you. Take care.
All right, bye.
All right. Well, thanks for the call. Okay, Susan, want to wrap up here real quick, and then we'll announce next week's show.
I will just say very quickly, if some of the best things to do if your relationship with money especially is problematic is to see if you can sit back and reflect on it and to just observe yourself. How do you feel about money? Do you worry about it, that there's never enough, even if there is? Are you spending more than you make? And there are so many resources online. I like there's one called nerdwallet.com, which I think gives some really good basic information about how to handle your finances and has lists of resources you can go to if you need help.
All right. Well, thanks for that emotional rendition about money. Okay. So I I'm happy about this. You know, one of the things that I learned from listening to Bongino in the morning is he always says he brings two or three times as much content than he needs for his show, and he has to do 3 hours. So I can imagine what that must be like. So next week, we've got another great guest lined up for you. His name is Dave Belmont. He's of the Adler Belmont Group, which is a property casualty insurance agency in the county. They've been around for a long time. I know property casualty insurance is a big issue now, trying to get fire insurance, homeowners insurance due to the fire issues. There's some changes also in the auto insurance marketplaces that's happening, and also workers' comp if you're a business owner. So this is a really important show for you to sit in on, whether you're an individual or a business owner. Dave is the ultimate expert on all things property casualty. Anyway, and we'll have some more topics for you next week as well. It's been a wonderful show. This is our fourth, and I'm really happy to be here with you here at KPRL. Again, info@blazingbear.com. And our telephone number is 805-635-7200. Have a great week.
Thanks, everybody.
Join us next Tuesday for Protect What Matters the Most with Barry Fisher and Susan Blaze. Send your questions and show topic ideas to barry@blazingbear.com. AM 1230 KPRL, 99.3 FM, KPRL.com. Paso Robles, Atascadero, Templeton.
It's